in the middle of a series called Church, talking about our roles, and we talked about Evaluation Church. We talked about the Unlikely Church, which I love what Heath had to say, because the Unlikely Church is really all of us in this room. We are so unlikely. You've known a person who've given their life to Jesus, and you're like, how in the world did that happen? Like, that person was so crazy, only to realize that we were the crazy one, right? We are unlikely. We talked about small church, which is really who we are. I'm not going to apologize for the things that we do that we believe are beneficial for our growth. And so I'm not going to apologize for small groups. I'm not going to apologize for the amount of times that someone's going to ask you to join a small group. It's because we believe in small groups. We believe in getting in circles. We believe this is important. But we also believe that something happens when I gather around and I get in a circle and I get to know people and they get to know me. Our culture says hide. Our culture says be lonely. And the Bible's opposite that. The Bible is no. How do we get into people's lives? And yes, it gets messy. Yes, it gets crazy. Yes, you find some things that you're like, I wish I would have not known that. This is the beauty of doing life together. And that this is a part of it. And I know it's a huge part, but this is not the end game. There's a bigger part. And so we talked about small church. And this week, we're going to talk about serve church. 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm going to read a couple verses. If you have a Bible app, I encourage you to join in that Bible app. It's got all of our verses. It's got the points of what we're talking about. Also, it'll be on the screen, some of these passages. But 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Peter's saying, the end of the world is coming soon. You glad I'm not ending there? You're like, that could be awkward. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to what? To serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Notice it doesn't necessarily mean a stage. It just means you have the gift of speaking. You know people in your life that have the gift of speaking. Amen? You guys awake? Should I call you Saturday night church? All right, do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all your strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ, and all glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Mark chapter 10, a couple of verses here. Verse 35, it says this, and then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him, and they said, Teacher, we want you to do us a favor. I don't know if Jesus responds well with that question. Jesus, I need you to do me a favor. What is your request? Jesus asked. He said, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you. One on your right, the other on your left. But Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? Oh, yes, they replied. We are able. Then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or on my left, and God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. And when the ten other disciples heard of what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them, but among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came to be, not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So much in those two passages that I could rabbit trail on. You know, so many things that Jesus said that I want to highlight. The first being, every single one of us in this room, we want our lives to matter. We do. We do things every single day, hoping, praying even, journaling, that we want our lives to matter. Now, I think our methods are different, and how we get across our methods of our lives mattering is a little different. I think a lot of us are trying to find a formula of what might work. Some of us are trying to do certain things. But in the end, we all want our lives to matter. Every single one of us. James and John are no different. These brothers are no different. And before we start going, whoa, these guys asked a crazy question. Understand this, we're not in the middle of this scenario. You and I get to read the after. We get to hear the end of the story. We get to hear what Jesus said to them. So before we become one of the 10 disciples and become indignant, must understand what James and John are coming from. They're coming from the standpoint that they've been told constantly that they're loved by Jesus. They've been told constantly that Jesus has special things for them and plans for their lives. So these guys are just merely asking a simple question. But Jesus says this statement, for you guys, it will be different. Hear this. Hear this. It's time that we as the church are different. A lot of amens right there. Like, I kind of like being out. No, yeah. That is the problem, though. Jesus is saying, and he said it constantly. You heard it said, but I say. Jesus said that all the time. What is he saying now in this moment? You've heard it said that the rulers of this world lord over the people. This is what they thought about Jesus. They thought he was a political power that was coming, and Jesus was going to come, and now because they were the 12 disciples, they were going to be like, yeah, we're going to rule over people. We'll show them one day. And Jesus breaks this trend and says, wait a second. You know who the greatest among you are? Those that serve. And not just anybody, everybody. And so it's this all-inclusive. You don't get to decide who you serve, just serve. It's like, well, Jesus, come on. Like, there's got to be some limits, right? So let's talk about these things. Let's talk about these serving principles. These are some just practical things for us. Serving allows us to discover and to develop our spiritual gifts. Something incredible happens when you and I give our lives to Jesus that we realize in that moment that I've been gifted a certain way, that God gives me incredible gifts. Maybe I've been tapping into them before Jesus without an understanding, but when I give my life to Jesus, there's some spiritual gifts that I have to use to serve other people. And guys, this is found when I start serving. When I start serving and giving my life away, something happens where I start discovering things about myself. All of a sudden, I start being stretched and I start getting out of my comfort zone because I'm doing something that, quote unquote, goes against my personality or goes against my type of personality or goes against how my mom and dad told me I was raised or goes against the gifts that I thought I had. Now I'm discovering things. And so the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, listen, the body of Christ is like a body. There's different parts and all have a role. And it says something like, if you're the hand, be the hand. But if the hand wants to be the foot, it's awkward, right? It's weird. And so when I start serving, I start discovering and developing these spiritual gifts that God has for me. And all of a sudden now these spiritual gifts start coming out and I start discovering who I am. And now there's no longer confusion about my identity and who I am in Christ. And I start discovering these things. All the while, I'm getting out of my comfort zone. I'm being stretched. I'm doing some things that I'm like, I don't know that I'm going to do it. If you've ever said, I don't feel comfortable in doing that, it's probably something you should do. Now, I'm talking about serving first. I'm talking about the church. Some of you are like, really? Teenagers like perked up. They woke up. They're like, I think I just heard him say I can do whatever I want. As long as it feels good. This is incredible. I love this church. Hear the rest of the message, young man. On your seat, you probably sat on or are put to the side these one another passages. There's 21 of them. This is 21 one another verses that you can stick in your Bible or you can take home with you and put on your fridge. But these are for us as the church. This is for us in loving one another and serving one another and forgiving one another that Jesus' commands are to start first in the church. That his point is, if you can't love the people you go to church with, who have the like minds that you have, who have an end goal that you have, if you can't love those, chances are you're not doing well when you leave here. That's his point. His point is, as the church, if we can't love right here, why do we think we're going to love the employee that we can't stand? Serving allows us to experience miracles. John chapter 2, Jesus' first miracle, we realize in this miracle that the people there weren't surprised. You know who got the benefit of seeing the miracle? The guys that went down and filled it up with water. The people expected wine. But the guys that went down to the water, who actually served and got the water out and went up and then poured it and saw wine, could you picture their faces? They're like, I know I put water in that. I know there was water. But to the people receiving the wine, wasn't a miracle. It was a miracle for the ones that were serving. When I serve and give up, that's when I see miracles. The people that go on mission trips, or the people that serve the homeless, or serve a meal, or whatever their way they're serving, they experience the miracle just by going. They'll say things like, every mission trip I've ever been on, people have said this, well, I went to be a blessing, but somehow, man, I felt it. What is that? When you start giving your life away, now you're seeing the miracle. Your eyes are being open to the things that are happening. That's what serving does. Serving is a part of our worship to Him. 1 Peter 4, the passage I read, it says, and each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God and the grace and God's grace in His various forms, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. When was the last time we viewed my life as worship to God? Things like Colossians 3:23, that whatever it is that you do, do it all for God. Do it all for the glory of Jesus. Everything that I'm doing, I'm worshiping. I don't need a band to worship. I don't need a band singing perfect melodies in the backdrop so that I can, or the song that I love, or the man, my jam, whatever it is that gets you going in worship. That's not what worship is. Worship is a lifestyle. And serving is a part of that. And serving causes us to be more like Jesus. I love this passage in Mark because I think we're all here. I think we've all said things like, if I ask you right now, how many in this room want to be like Jesus? You're going to be like, yeah, I so want to be like Jesus. And that's what the disciples were asking. Yeah, Jesus, you totally drink of this cup of bitterness, this cup of suffering and persecution. I love that drink. And Jesus is like, for real? Granted. Done. That also tells me, be careful what you pray. God, I need you to stretch and enlarge my tents. And dude, you're reading a book that you weren't ready to pray. You're reading the prayer of Jabez. And you're like, I want to just be like Jabez. And okay, here you go. And you're like, Jesus, I was kidding. No, no, no. That wasn't for me. I was praying it for someone else. Our spiritual answer, our Sunday school answer, our Sunday morning, well, I'm in church. I guess I got to agree. Do I really want to be like Jesus? A few honest yeses. It's like, yeah, I think so. Maybe. Sometimes. When the crowd's there and the blessings are coming. When the water turns to wine. When the sick guy gets up, yeah, I want to be like Jesus. He didn't say, for you don't understand what you're talking about. And he said, for you to be like me, you're going to experience the crowds and the miracles. He didn't say that. He said, the only way you're going to experience it is you're going to drink from this baptism of death. You got to die to yourself. Listen, I'll make this statement more than once because we need to be reminded of it. But there is no way that I can serve like Jesus until I've given my life to Jesus. Because I'm really good at loving people that love me. Right? I'm really good at saying thank you. I'm really good at scratching somebody else's back that scratched mine. That's not serving. That's doing favors. That's relationships. That's friendship. Jesus says, saying, serve to be more like Jesus means you may never get thank you. It means that may never benefit you in the natural. That means you may never understand fully what you're doing, but just serve. If you're trying to figure it out and trying to get the theological answer for why you're doing it, it may never happen this side of heaven. But you serve to be like Jesus. And Jesus said this. And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did to one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Was Jesus' point. When you serve, you see a person, you see a man, you see a woman who has a story. Jesus says, really, what you're doing is you're doing it for me. That's part of our worship. Serving gets us around others that want to serve. This is what I love about mission trips. This is what I love about even serving here. You're teamed up with someone you would have never picked. You go on mission trips and you're like, this is the oddest team that's ever been put together. I don't know any of these people, and they're so different than me. And Jesus goes, that's the best part. They're not like you. And that's 1 Corinthians 12. See, when I serve, I get to be around other people that want to serve as well, and I get to know people I would have never known had we not been put into this scenario, into this situation with one common goal. See, a lot of things bring us together. Sports bring us together. Families, because we have to, because we're family, brings us together. A lot of things bring us together. But when the cause of Jesus brings us together, then now all these different personalities come and you're like, this is so weird. The only thing that brought us together is we both wanted to serve together. Now you see like, man, I would have never hung out with that guy, but now we're really close because we had that in common. Serving increases our faith. See, the more you say yes to the things you're uncomfortable with, the more your faith increases. Some of you in this room, you're like, listen, there's so many levels of serving. Like for husbands, you need to be the one serving in your house. Saw someone last night. I'm not going to mention names because you know these people. But somebody last night was working in the well, and part of the responsibility in the well is that, you know, they're washing out the coffee pots afterwards. And I looked as the spouse, it was a woman, it was a man cleaning behind, and it was a woman, and she's just staring at him. And in my mind, it was like, oh, they're having like a husband-wife moment, you know, where they're just like, you know, making eye contact, and it's kind of cool. And then she says this, oh, so you really can wash the dishes. It's like, that was good. That was good. You can do that at home too, honey. See, we do that a lot. I want to serve where I'm comfortable. I want to serve where I know what's going to happen. And listen, in this room, there's so many different things that you and I are stretched by. There's so many different things that you and I go, well, listen, that kind of stretches me or that kind of goes against what I naturally want to do. Can I just tell you that that is going to happen all throughout life? Like, we need to start preparing our kids that there's going to be some things, kids, that you're going to have to do, that God's going to ask you to do, that when you hear his voice and he asks you to do something, that you naturally aren't going to feel like wanting to do it, and you're going to naturally want to say things like, well, that's not really my personality. I'm more of a quiet, reserved person, so I naturally wouldn't more put myself out there. That doesn't mean you're not supposed to do it. That just means that you have a bigger thing to get over to break that fear. It doesn't mean we stop because it's not our personality or not how we were raised. It means that I might have to push through a little bit more before it happens. Some of you small groups freaks you out. And some of you big church freaks you out. And some of you don't come on Saturday because it's a little smaller because that freaks you out. It doesn't mean all of those things are wrong. It just means you might have to work a little bit more to be stretched. This is the point. This is the point. There's several passages that talks about Luke or Romans chapter 12 says it this way. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love and honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and share with God's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. Love that. Several passages. But I want to get us some practical things. Hearing these seven things on serving, how it increases our faith, and all of these other things, I want to give us some practical things, and here's the first one. Be available. I'm just asking you as a church to be available. What does that mean? It's pretty broad. It's supposed to be. Because we can't program up enough areas to serve. It's just impossible. Those of you that serve in the church, I appreciate it. Our team appreciates. Volunteers appreciate it. I think it's very crucial. But listen, this isn't the end all. Serving on Sunday morning, this is kind of funny to me, and funny and scary. You know those things? Like, it's funny, but it's scary at the same time. You know the hardest thing in the church? The hardest position to get someone to volunteer for in the church is? You can guess. Go ahead, talk to me. Well, some of you knew, so you said it. Toilet cleaner is actually easy. Ushering. You kind of like nervously laugh at that, and you're like, I can't believe you're bringing up. We got ushers in here. And when you see your usher and he comes up, I just want you to awkwardly and joyfully just smile at him. Just like, you do a good job. Give him a smile. That's the hardest position to fill. Now, some would argue, most of it women, that it's because primarily men usher. Is this too much? Is this too honest? We had women sign up last night for ushering. Like, I don't know that that's in the Bible. Can women usher? If they can march, they can usher, right? Oh, sorry. I typically step way over the line. Sorry. Yes, they can usher. Why is it? Of all the other things that you do volunteering-wise, you miss out on some of the service. Ushering, you come. You sit. You stand. You collect. You turn in. You walk out. And then there's some of you like, well, I've never been asked. Can I just say to you right now, you may never be asked. Your availability doesn't need to be asked. The availability is you find out in those moments if I'm an owner or if I'm a hireling. And there's a big difference between those two. Owners try to figure out the problem, try to make a solution to the problem. Hirelings just go find another job or another church in this case. That's why I'm more when people come in, we treat them like family, because family is really harder to get away from. You try, but you're like, can't leave that stinking family. That's why I like to call people family and not members. Membership can be broken. So I also like calling people owners, because when you take ownership, then it's not ever a situation where like, well, that's somebody else's job. I didn't sign up for that. An owner doesn't have to sign up. An owner takes charge. An owner says, I know there's a piece of trash on the ground. I'm going to pick it up because I'm not going to leave it to the cleaning person's responsibility. That's what owners do. And the Bible talks about that in John 10. Jesus talks about it. Again, we're going back to wanting to be like Jesus. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And so Jesus is asking us to be people that own things. Take some ownership. Well, I don't want to step on people's toes. We'll tell you if you're doing it. That's part of the process of walking in relationship with one another. I met with a group of men on Wednesday night, and we talked about the ushering thing. I said, you will have plenty of ushers after Sunday. I got wives hitting their husbands right now. You don't do anything in the church. You can usher. You like money. In fact, our ushers today, man, slip them an extra 20, put it in their basket instead, you know. We'll get them ushering. Like, oh my God, we got 100 ushers. Only doing it one time a year. Pay attention. Be available. Pay attention. Galatians says it this way. Therefore, whenever you have the opportunity, we should do good to, I hate that word, to who? Everyone. But especially to those who are in the family of the faith. So pay attention. Listen, here's what I know, you guys. I know that we have a lot going on in our lives. I know that you have personal struggles. I know you have personal problems. I know you have real family situations. I know it's not bogus stuff. I know it's real things. But yet the Bible is clear. Pay attention. Pay attention for those around you. Again, Jesus said, I'm asking you to do it different. I'm asking you to be different than culture. I know culture says to lord it over and to be the boss. I'm asking you to serve where it doesn't feel like you should be serving. I'm asking you to be available. I'm asking you to pay attention. I'm asking you not to pass on opportunities when you have the opportunity to serve. I'm not diminishing that you need rest. I'm not diminishing that you have things in your life going on. That's not what I'm saying. Nor am I diminishing or thinking that you guys could do everything. I get it. I understand it. I understand. This is not a guilt-driven to get people to sign up to serve. It's this understanding that I need to make myself available and I need to pay attention to the people and the needs around me. And then I need to do the best I can with what I have. See, culture says you can be this whenever you get to this status. No, you can do some things right now where you are. I don't have any money. Good. There's a lot of things you can do that don't require money. I don't have a lot of time. Good. You got a lot of money. Give it. I don't have a lot of time or money. You got a gift. Train somebody up. Isn't that what Ephesians was saying? Listen, I've put these offices in place. What's the whole goal of these offices? These pastors, the teachers, evangelists, the prophets. What's the whole office to do? What's it say? There's one word. Equip. That's the word. Listen, if we're not equipping, if you're an usher for 40 years, I'm not knocking you, but you should not be ushering for 40 years. We're not equipping if I'm ushering for 40 years. If you need a Sunday school pin because you served faithfully a Sunday school teacher for 40 years or a small group leader for 40 years, listen, we don't like multiplication of small groups, but that's growth. That's growth. And we need to equip people. Some of the greatest small groups that have happened is people that have been in the class, been under the leader, and then now this time, they're doing it. And that leader's gone on and done more small groups now. Why? Because equipping is a part of what we're doing. And we've excused ourselves enough. Like, well, if I had this, this, and this resource, I would totally serve. No. Serve where you are with what you have right now. Be dedicated to the big and the small. Quit looking for the big things to serve and start with the small. Ushering being one of those. Galatians 6:3 says, if you think you are too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourselves. You're not that important. John Maxwell says a lot of things about leadership. You can read all of his 2,000 books about it. He does a lot about leadership. But the biggest thing he says is, if you step away and they missed you, you are a bad leader. And that, I think, was proven a little bit. Obviously, there's some communication. As we missed a flight a couple weeks ago, we walked right into church. You know what me and Sean and Kelly and Shelly didn't have to do? Jeff and Jody, well, they were already here. But you know what the four of us didn't have to do? We didn't have to figure some things out. They're already taken care of. Coffee was made. Worship team was practicing. Chairs were here. Heat was where it was supposed to be. We weren't here. That's the point. If we're not equipping, if we're not doing, and someone's doing the small things, if you think you're above that, we're missing the point of what Jesus was saying. We're missing the point. Be faithful. You know, being faithful is like the requirement that every single one of us, no matter what it is that we're doing, if you say you're going to do something, commit to it. Follow through. But when I stand before Jesus, he's going to say a couple things. Well done. Good. and faithful servant. That's the best part. That Jesus views our lives from a serving standpoint, and his requirement is, am I being faithful where I am with what he's given me, with the people around me? He's asking me to be faithful in those moments, in those settings, with the team that I have, with the people that I have. And you might be wishing all day long, I wish I had a different job, or I wish I had a different school, or I wish I was doing all these different things. And all you're doing is complaining your way from doing what God has called you to do. And now nobody's winning. No one's being served. Now there's identity issues. And you want to know why we're headed down this path? It all comes back to something. We see the problem and we try to fix and band-aid the solution on that problem. That's not the problem. We got to rabbit trail this all the way back here. And so instead of focusing on the problem, which is what we do, let's focus and diagnose the problem, all the while ignoring the fact. Listen, millions of babies have been killed in the United States of America, and we're still fighting about abortion, but no one wants to talk about the sex problem that America has, which is leading to the abortions that we have. All we want to talk about is the 0.5% of the problems of what's going on in our nation when it comes to abortion. And we're not talking about the real issue, the fact that we think that we can have all the sex we want in this nation and that there's not going to be consequences to that. Yeah, there's going to be consequences to it. And the baby didn't do anything to you. But we're going to punish that very thing. That makes no sense. That line of thinking makes no sense. And Jesus said, I've told you, you're to be different. You're to be different. You're to think different. You're to love different. You're to serve different. You are to be different. We just want to fix this problem. Well, let's just hope it goes away and everybody, listen, to fix the problem, we got to get to the root of it. And here's the root. Oh, that root is ugly and it needs dug up and there's a lot of junk that comes with that. Well, if you want to fix this, you got to go there. Oh, we don't want to talk about that because we like, never mind. I'll end with this point. Be faithful. Keep a low profile. This is what I mean by this. Jesus talking, he says, listen, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly so that you can be admired by others. Instead, he says, for you will lose your reward from me, the Father in heaven. Listen, I hate that I even have to explain this to you. But let me say this for those of you that are maybe trying to twist my words. I'm not saying you don't ever get a thank you. I'm not saying that when you do something for someone and they slip you a 50, that they want to bless you, you don't say thank you and you don't receive it. I'm not saying any of those things. But I do want to know that if you're doing things all for the name of serving so that you get your name out there and God knows your heart and you know your heart as well. If you're doing the selfie while you're serving, it's like, whoop, what's up? I'm handing out. You're doing it for the wrong reasons. And Jesus is saying, listen, you'll know this because you're missing out on your reward from me, which is the most important thing when you're serving and you're giving your life away for the wrong reasons. And so he says to us, keep a low profile when you're serving. Don't make it about you. Make it about him. Make it about what he can do with what you've done. And that was his point to the disciples. That was his point to the culture. That was his point to us today. Watch out. Because the temptation will always be to make it about us. The temptation will always be to make it about what it's not supposed to be about. It will always be the temptation. That will not ever change until we leave this earth. It will always be the temptation to make it about us because the devil is the father of lies. He is a prideful human or creature or devil or whatever the heck he is. He's evil in nature, and the whole point is to twist and to distort what God intended. That's the point. And on our culture, with never before, ever in history, before January 22nd, 2017, has there been more in our culture for exposure than there ever is right now. Ever is right now. And I've said this before. We're learning things about all over our world that I don't know that our bodies and our minds were wired to hear about. Man, you think about culture 15, 20 years ago. It'd take you days to hear about breaking news. And now, I'm getting alerts like crazy of things that have happened. And our minds and our hearts, very difficult for us to process through it and grieve through it. And so what do? We hold on to it and we let it build up. And now I got relationship issues and I let it build up. And now I got marital issues and I let it build up. And all the while it's built up. And guess what it affects? Me. And I'm not serving. I'm not hearing God's voice. I'm not saying, God, what is it you want to speak to me so that I can go and be and to do what you've asked me to be? I can't think about that because I'm so consumed with everything else that's going on. Why? Because we're more exposed than we've ever been in all of our history. Yeah? And Jesus is saying, when you serve, I'm asking you to be different. People may never know that you gave that donation. They're not supposed to know. If you want to come to this church and you want to make a donation, you want me to put a plaque on some door or something like that, you're at the wrong church. Sorry. I'll put a plaque out for you, but you're going to use it in your house. It's not what it's about. He says, serve, give. I'll even say this, and I know it's kind of a... I probably shouldn't. Sorry, I'm on some medicine, so if I'm... Yeah. Huh. Can we stop using Facebook to get our opinions out there? Can we stop? Listen, the last time, I'm not saying you don't have valid points. I'm not saying we shouldn't make a stand, and I know that's a place we can do that, but because as the church, can we maybe just do it different? Can we just put scriptures up or say, hey, I love you. Know that. I don't agree with your lifestyle, but I love you. But maybe that'd be a private message. You know, can we just be more of a low profile? Because last time I've checked, and maybe it's happened, maybe I'm totally wrong here, but I've never won someone to Jesus by my comments on Facebook. But when I want to have a personal relationship with someone, then I can start saying and having a personal relationship with them and not with the intent of saying something on there so I can make them look like they're stupid for what they're saying, which is ultimately what we're trying to do. Well, I'm going to throw some scripture out here. You're going to look so dumb after this. Listen, they don't care what you know until they know that you care. So the chances are they're not even listening to what you're saying anyway. Right? Listen, if you're in this room, and I've said this to you before, if you're waiting for God to equip the called, he doesn't. He doesn't do that. He's not calling the equipped, he's equipping the called, and it's as we go. It's as I'm signing up. It's as I'm saying, yes, Lord. I was with my friend Jim Harris the last couple weeks as he's been home. He's a missionary, lives in St. Louis. But you know what? The best thing about Jim Harris is, in my opinion, that he's in his mid-50s, had a job, and God said, Jim, Pat, it's time for you to go. And he said, all right, we'll go. And he went, and he's going. Not to be highlighted as Jim and Pat is awesome, but that God spoke to people in their 50s, people that are thinking about retiring, not knocking retirement. Hear me. Men and women who said, I will still go even though my body is aging, even though my body's different than it was 20 years ago, I'll still go. I use that to get you to understand that God has equipped Jim as he went. Jim didn't say, well, one day, whenever I feel all equipped, then I'll go. He says, Jim, just go. Jesus didn't look at one of his 12 disciples and said, when you guys can fix these couple things, I'll let you start serving meals. He didn't say that. And in everything that Jesus did, he ends with this, you go and do likewise. So Jesus grabs the towel. He starts washing the disciples' feet. They're freaking out. Don't touch my feet, Jesus. Don't do that. I don't like that you're doing this. And Jesus said, guys, this is what I'm doing. Go and do likewise to people. Go and do likewise. You know what the craziest part of all that is? That Jesus washed Judas's feet. That's the part that blows me away. I mean, I'm skipping over James and John because of our previous conversation. It's like, dude, you guys are so, I don't even like you right now. Come here, Matthew, let me. That's what you and I are doing. Judas, I know what you're about to do, you stinking, prideful, money-hungry guy. I know what you're about to do. I'll wash your feet later. You know, he didn't do that. He washed their feet. All single one of them. And he says, guys, go and do likewise. What was Jesus' point? You're going to have to serve people that love you, and you're going to serve people that do not even stand you. They don't like you. He says, serve those as well. Will you stand with me today? Listen, first and foremost, those of you in this room, that you're, I'm not knocking this. This is you. You've heard like a quarter of what I've said because you've got some real things going on in your mind, in your life. I understand that. There's some real things happening. Listen, I know life has thrown you a curveball, or you found out some news, or whatever it is that your scenario and situation is. I understand that. And guys, just know this, at this moment, there's going to be men and women that are up at this church, up in the front, and they're available to pray with you, okay? They're available to speak in your life, pray scripture over you, meet with you about whatever it is that you're facing, or just be a friend to you. That's why they're here. They're available to you. And I would encourage it. I would encourage you, if you got something going on in your life that you've thought about during the service, and I'll even say this more than once, I encourage you to find someone. It doesn't have to be these guys. You know, find someone in the auditorium right now. Maybe you have a personal relationship with. Find that person. Ask them to pray for you. Because the Bible says to do that. It's a very powerful thing, and it needs to be available to you. If you're in this room and you're evaluating your life, though, and you're saying, God, where am I missing the mark? Where have I been selfish where I should be humble? Where have I been? And guys, this is for all of us, okay? This is not like look across the aisle and point fingers. This is all of us in this room. There's things that we've neglected, that we've missed out on. Because we've been distracted, because we've been lazy, because we've been selfish. And that's okay. Because Jesus loves us where we are. He loves us right where you are today. But I want us to evaluate. Evaluate the way I give my life away. Evaluate the way you're loving people. Evaluate the relationships that you have. Those people that are difficult to serve in your life, and they're there. And maybe it's a marriage thing. Maybe you need to turn to your spouse because you fought on church, because usually people fight on the way to church. I don't know why that happens, but I know the devil likes that it happens. Maybe you need to turn to your spouse today and say, you know what? I said some things this morning before coffee, and I apologize. Maybe that's who you need to look at. Maybe you need to look at your kid because you went off on them. Because the stress of everything that's going on in your life, not excusing it, I'm saying make it right. Because Jesus said when you stand before and you start worshiping and you think about a brother in your life that you have ought against, stop what you're doing and go make it right. That's what the Bible says. That's Jesus saying you got to be different. Okay? That's available. God, I pray today that you would help us, that you would strengthen us. God, I pray that you help us be bold. I pray that you help us go beyond comfortable, beyond preconceived ideas. God, I pray that you help us get to the heart of what's going on, whether it's in our life, in a relationship. God, places that we need to humble ourselves, places we need to submit to. God, I pray that you give us the strength to do that today. God, there is a world that is in desperate need of a Savior. And we have the opportunity to demonstrate this love. And I pray, God, that you would help us to be the church that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.